That's what she said.
That's what she said.
That's what she said.
That's what she said.
Well, that's what she said.
Welcome to That's What She Said, conversations with interesting people from the world of sports, music, comedy, and more, talking about their lives, careers, successes, and failures. Welcome to the latest edition of That's What She Said with Sarah Spain, a very special holiday Festivus edition of the podcast.
Festivus?
A Festivus for the rest of us!
Once again, I've gathered up some of my ESPN colleagues like Dan Le Batard and Mina Kimes to rail against the things in sports that bothered them the most this year.
I got a lot of problems with you people. Now, you're going to hear about it.
And boy, did they. Everything from the actions of high school coaches to social media chronology, to Kevin Durant and the U.S. soccer team. Their grievances were all over the map this year.
Made from aluminum. Very high strength to weight ratio.
I also have a surprise Seinfeld cast member guest to talk about things Festivus related and some New York sports as well.
Welcome, newcomers.
So before we get to the airing of grievances, here's my chat with comedian and actor and podcaster Steve Heitner, who you know better as Kenny Banya.
Oh no, it's Kenny Banya.
Hey, Jerry!
My apologies for the less than perfect audio at a couple little moments. We didn't have the best connection.
A very special surprise addition to this year's Festivus podcast. A man who also celebrates the holiday that's for the rest of us. You remember him from Seinfeld as awful comedian Kenny Banya. He's an actor, comedian, podcaster, and sports bettor, host of That's Gold with Steve Heitner. Welcome to the show, Steve. Thanks for making some time for us.
I'm very excited. I'm just going to say right up front, I am a fan. Enjoy your work. Enjoy watching you wear the horn, all the stuff. I'm just going to fess up right up front. I'm a fan of you.
Excellent. I love when my guests kiss butt before we get started. It just makes, you know, makes for a good interview. You nailed it. So your Kenny Banya tagline actually inspired one of my fantasy football team's names one year because Robbie Gould was still on the Bears. So I'll give you the honors of saying it, but you can imagine how this turns into a team name.
Well, I'm guessing you're talking about that's Gold, Jerry Gold.
That's right.
I, of course, get that screamed at me only when I walk out of the house.
So I was going to ask about that. Yeah. So yeah, do you still enjoy it? Okay,
yeah,
good.
It is what it is. I mean, if I want to make it a negative, that's probably a bad choice. So I just take it that people mean it in the best way possible. And most people are great. So I just, and now I'm finally using it to my advantage, calling the podcast That's Gold. But no, I never really have a problem with it. I always feel like people are cool. You always know the jerks. Like, if I'm sitting there having dinner with my son and they're screaming it at me, I'm like, okay, there's an idiot.
Right.
For the most part, people are cool.
It sounds like that's sort of an evolved viewpoint, right? Because you said it's a choice that you get to make. I either get to be bothered by it or not. So at one point, were you annoyed by it? Was it something that got at you?
I don't think so. I think maybe. I mean, maybe the realization of it came to me. The realization of it was decision time. Okay, I want to be that guy that's rolling his eyes and going, stop defining me, I'm so much more than that. it's just a ridiculous moment. Like, yeah, don't succeed, people may bring it up.
Right. I had such a great conversation with Dennis Haskins, who played Mr. Belding, about that,
right?
Because he just owns it. In fact, his Twitter handle is Mr. Belding. Like, he's just like, whatever, dude. Still getting
that's
royalties.
Really going at it.
Yeah, they're still running this the episode, so I'm good.
Yeah.
So, but as far as, you know, the people yelling at you across a restaurant or whatever, what's the most annoying request you've gotten from a fan?
Well, I think the truest, most annoying thing, and this sounds like a joke, but it's not, is I literally cannot ask what the soup of the day is. Like that, I literally, if I go, so what's the soup? All I get is, like, no, really, I'm interested in the soup.
That's
funny. I cannot ask about soup, but, you know, some people just, you know, they want to up it. They want to, you know, they want to go crazy and yell negative things. But I don't find I get that much. I just find I get that some people, they just don't realize that it's a fictional character.
You know, right.
they think they're meeting Kenny Banya. It's like, no, that's a character on the television.
Yeah, so but I met the soup Nazi a couple years ago, and that's a real guy, right?
The real soup Nazi? Or the actor Larry Connick?
I'm just joking, the actor.
Yeah, the actor, because he'll wear the outfit at events.
Yeah.
Like, he'll wear the chef outfit. Like, I can't get myself to put myself in wardrobe.
Right.
Like, I'll show up in my pants.
I don't know if they still sell those kind of khakis anymore and sweaters that were like just two sizes
that is
bigger
an
than everybody.
Pull.
Yeah.
You're familiar with the bed you wear.
Yes.
Not a lot of people can go there.
Well, have you ever, at any point in your career, particularly since that character blew up, have you ever had just bad day, long day, and you just lose it on someone? You just don't have the patience to be Banya?
You know what? I have, but you know, I have great friends. So to say that I've gone, you know, said to somebody, knock it off, jerk. I just have great friends. They can see it in my eyes and they just start to run interference.
Nice.
You know, and of course I'm from New York. So my friends that run interference, all they know how to do is escalate.
Right. Yes.
Everything. Yeah. How about you go home and talk to the TV? How about you go do that?
I love that too, because, you know, the fans probably like, yeah, that guy was really nice, but wow, his friends are
yeah. They take it right on the chin for me.
Exactly. So were you a sports fan growing up? Because your podcast, That's Gold with Steve Heitner, it's all sports betting and sports talk, right?
Well, it's that. It's also, we go with the That's Gold part of, like, what's the gold standard of anything that guys enjoy. And it doesn't have to be guys, but we happen to be guys. So we talk a lot about Vegas, about restaurants, about tequila, about whatever it might be. But there is definitely the sports gambling aspect to it. And I think I got into it really young. I mean, as I age myself here, when I was 10 years old, it was the miracle year in New York. So I'm 10 years old, and Tom Seaver and the Mets are the miracle Mets. The Jets and Joe Namath win it. The Knickerbockers unbelievably win the championship. So it was like, I'm 10 years old, I'm going, oh, sports are awesome. Of course, we haven't won since, but you know, it was a heck of a year in 69.
I was going to say, that's actually very sad, right? Be like, it's like, hopefully at some time the Patriots dynasty will end, and all the kids that are 16 now and have never understood what it means to fail will grow up later, right, and be like you, right? And be adults and be like, where's the magic gone?
Yeah, so that's how I started. So I got off to an enormous start, and I just love sports. I mean, obviously, hasn't gone great. In football, I'm more of a New York Football Giants fan, so I don't have to really worry about the Jets that much. But believe me, I make bad choices. I'm a Met fan. I'm like, when I was a kid, I was like, yeah, I'm not interested in those Yankees. Look at these Mets. They just won. So that was another excellent choice.
Good choice, yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, there's a lot of teams in New York. You got to pick the ones you want.
That's true. And you went to Valley Stream High School, and I was reading that Steve Buscemi went there and was just a couple years older than you. Did you know him in high school?
If you have to bring up that I'm not even the most famous guy from my own high school, that's hurtful.
It's all right. I went to high school with Vince Vaughn, so I'm never going to get it.
Oh,
either.
You're done.
Yeah.
Buscemi was, he was actually, this will shock you, he was more of a jock. He was on the soccer team.
No.
Yeah. Yeah, he was on the soccer team, and he hung out with a lot of the jocks. You know, he also was a fireman, you know, later on.
What?
So he has, yes, he has that side to him. I know. And so I'll tell you what happened, though. One thing that did happen is later in our lives, I did audition for Mr. Pink and Reservoir Dogs. But that
wow.
was, I went right down to the end on it. I was loving what I was doing. And then when I saw Reservoir Dogs and I saw it with Steve and I saw what he was doing, I was like, oh, yeah, that's better.
You just blew my mind, though, because I was asking specifically because I was enjoying the picture I created in my head of who Steve might have been in high school. And, I'm thinking the guy who puts together the sets for the drama department always wore black. And you blew my mind that he was an athlete. That's crazy. That's awesome.
Yeah, he was a soccer dude, hung out with the soccer dudes. And that was his thing. I think everybody thinks they want to see him that way, right? They want to see him, you know, just real creepy in the theater club and all that.
Yeah, that's one guy who does.
That was me.
Yeah, I was gonna say that's one guy who's not well served by people not understanding that things are characters.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And also the fireman stuff too. I mean, there's this whole other side to him that I don't think comes across.
Well, so you're a New York fan, and so I've got to ask you then, since, you know, the Giants have given you some moments of joy of late, but Eli Manning maybe not providing as much joy this year. What do you think about Eli, and how much more time do you want to have him around, or how much do you want the Giants to put their foot on the gas in terms of finding a successor?
Okay, well, first of all, I got to start by saying I'm an Eli fan. I always have been. I think he should go to the Hall of Fame. I support Eli in every which way. But at the same time, it's over. All right, it's done. And the real challenge was that Saquon Barkley pick. Like, you can't argue Saquon Barkley. He's unbelievable. But you can almost still argue if you should take him in the second pick. He's playing so well now, it's almost killing the argument. But this is what I've been saying most of the season. And so it's time to get some guys in there. There were four quarterbacks sitting right there that were legitimate picks. The problem is now there are no more legitimate picks, right? Mm-hmm. And the Giants are starting to win, so who knows where that pick's going to be. But it's not like there's a bunch of quarterbacks coming out. So it doesn't seem, tell me if you think so, it doesn't seem like they are doing any grooming. We got the kid that does the illegal U-turns, and that's about it. That's about it, right?
Yeah, agreed. And the quarterback class is not looking good, so maybe you look for it in the free market or in trade. I mean, there are some quarterbacks who could be on the market, like a Joe Flacco or a Nick Foles, if you're trying
what
to bridge the gap.
Bridgewater,
yeah, absolutely. There are guys you could go out and get that would be a better choice than Manning while you still hope to groom the future. And yeah, the Saquon Barkley argument is absolutely the way you put it. It's like you can't argue his greatness, but will they get a quarterback around fast enough to actually take advantage of it while it's still in his window, which is always tough with running backs. So,
right. And his performance last week, it's just, you know, with the strength and the cutting is one thing, but when he flashes that speed, it's just unbelievable.
Yeah, the example I always give, though, is there was a game where he had, like, a combined 200 yards between rushing and receiving, and they still lost. So you still need somehow to win the game when he plays that well.
he played to win the game.
Exactly, yes. Let's talk Knicks, as I don't know why. Let's talk the future of the Knicks, because the current is too depressing. How much are you bought in on the possibility of Kevin Durant going to the Knickerbockers?
I'm not bought in one bit. I don't. It's 1%, and I would like to go lower. I'd like to go lower than 1%. I don't think I could. I will say this as a grievance. Can I say a grievance?
Yes, do it.
The tradition of Festivus begins with the airing of grievances.
I'm going to say a grievance, and my grievance is one word, and the word is Dolan. Right?
Exactly.
I don't care how you draft. You're not getting the Knicks out of this without free agents. It's not going to happen, right? And free agents aren't coming with Dolan there. They need free agents, and that's not going to happen in the land of Dolan.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. In fact, if I were a Knicks fan, every year my Festivus grievance would be about James Dolan, because that's what I'm always saying when people pitch the Knicks as a great place to go. MSG is a great arena, and that's about it. And yeah, New York's a big market. But if James Dolan's still in charge, you have absolutely zero confidence that anything is going to change there.
Yeah, ask Charles Oakley if New York's a great place to play. You know,
right.
I mean, the way that went down. Yeah, the way that all went down. It's just, it's unbelievable, and it's not going to change until he's out of there. And look, I love my Knicks. I love them. And the thing about it, and I don't know if you're aware of this, but at the end of the day, New York is a basketball town. Obviously, it's great when the Yankees are winning, when the Giants win. When the Knicks are good, it's crazy there. And you just don't know it because they're never good.
Yeah, I mean, that's the problem.
I mean, think of the team in the 90s.
Well, no, but that's actually why we still talk about the Knicks, right? Because it's such a basketball town that they keep coming up, and then you're reminded that they've had, like, one winning season in 16 years or whatever, and you're like, wait, why are we even including them? Why are we talking about them at all?
They don't have to be that great. They just have to be a playoff team, and you just can't believe how New York explodes.
I feel sad for Knicks fans, and that's really taking, like, an incredible amount of kindness from me, because they're obnoxious and terrible, but I have to feel bad for anybody who's dealing with James Dolan at the helm. So,
exactly. So that really is.
You're on the Festivus podcast, of course, and you were not in the Festivus episode, but your connection to Seinfeld makes you de facto Festivus expert, and you're doing a giveaway from your That's Gold with Steve Heitner podcast, right? A Festivus giveaway?
We are. We're doing $500 if you consider that a giveaway.
Hey, why not? Christmas cash.
Second place, steak knives.
Third place is, you're fired.
You're fired, exactly. Foreclosures, and we're done.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, So third place is actually interesting because you get to come on the podcast and me and with Rich Johnson and Greg Peterson. Greg Peterson's a young kid who does all of this gambling. He bets so many games, and he's all over Twitter and stuff. I call him Young Sensei because I come from just a complete fan point of view, but he's got all the analytics. But at the end of the day, I don't think our numbers are all that different, quite frankly. Look, if he goes to 70%, we'll all quit our job.
No kidding.
One of the great things about Jerry during those years was he loved the Banya character so much, he used to just jam me into episodes. Like, if you think of the Soup Nazi episode,
right.
It's just like, hey, have Banya try and cut in line. That'll be fun.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and the opening line, if I remember it correctly, was something like, hey, Jerry, I didn't know you liked soup, which is a great callback. Right?
Something brilliant.
Yes. Which actually brings me to the speed round. The speed round of questions. So let's start with one. What's something about Jerry Seinfeld we don't know other than that he loved the Kenny Banya character?
Okay, here's something. I asked him about his Porsches. You know, he's obsessed with Porsches. So he goes, I said, how crazy is it? He goes, I'll tell you how crazy it is. This guy said to me, you got to come down and see this one Porsche. It's unbelievable. He said to him, I already have that Porsche. He goes, but I'll come down and take a look at it. So he goes down to take a look at the Porsche. It's the exact same Porsche, literally on the engine. It was the Porsche made after his. He goes, so I bought it.
Wow.
And then another Porsche thing with him is when we met, we completely had a complete, you know, romance going on. We got along great. And I had a little Targa 911, my first Porsche and stuff. And we ran into each other on the lot, and he had some monster thing. And I pull up in my own Targa, and he goes, oh, you get the starter kit, huh?
Wow. That must be nice to mock other people's Porsches.
He's a phenomenal guy, I'll tell you that.
All right, second question in the speed round. When's the last time you saw Julia Louis-Dreyfus?
You know what? Can I get serious here for a moment?
Yeah.
My kid is very sick right now. He has a rare bone cancer and is being treated at UCLA Medical. So am I. But the point is, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, there was a thing going out to try and help Steve Kinn and whatnot. She posted it on her Twitter account. It went through the roof. Then she even got some crap from people about, hey, you got some money, you pay for his kids, blah, 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 blah. But Julia Louis-Dreyfus is a phenomenal person and okay in my book. That's the last contact I had with her, and you can't have much better contact than that. She's ridiculously great.
Next question, what's your favorite episode of Seinfeld?
I enjoy the contest. Marine biologist, and then the one Kramer with the Merv Griffin show. I don't even know the title of that one. So I'm going to put those. That's my podium right there.
Oh, that's a good podium. You got a good Larry David story?
I don't know if it's a good story, but trust me, Larry David is. You know that guy you see him on TV? He's exactly that guy, just not as funny.
Oh my gosh.
When you get together, and I'm sure I'll get in trouble for saying that. I don't care. But Larry David is a piece of work. And I think Larry would be the first one to tell you that. But that is Larry. But those uncomfortable pauses you see on TV, in real life, they're more uncomfortable.
I can only imagine. And that music from Curb Your Enthusiasm has proved to be the most successful internet meme in terms of catching just the right tone when you need to capture something. Have you at any point in your life, whether for someone's birthday, Christmas, whatever, taking advantage of your celebrity connections to Seinfeld for some absurd over-the-top gift, video, clip, whatever?
Yeah, I've done it several times. The CEO of Live Nation is a huge Seinfeld fan, and I have picked up some pretty sweet tickets to a lot of different concerts by getting in touch with him on whatever I consider a regular basis. But he has always been there for me. And one of the things is I try and be really, you know, I try and be accommodating. But I don't like to do the thing of everybody hands you the phone. Hey, do my message. Or, hey, do this. Or do the voice. And I used to always accommodate people. And then I stopped doing that because everybody, if they wanted me to say that's gold, Jerry Gold, or whatever it is, all of them had the same reaction. I would do it and they would go, yeah, that's not it. Do it better. I'm like, yeah, no, I really nail it when I'm getting paid.
Oh, that's funny. Of course they do, because people are the worst in general.
Yeah.
Which I think is like the whole point of both of the shows, Curb Your Enthusiasm and Seinfeld.
Right. Let's examine how horrible people are.
Yes. Hell is other people is the famous line. And the final question of the speed round, is soup a meal?
Soup is a meal. Many people make it a meal. It's outrageous to consider it's not a meal. That is Steve Heitner. Unfortunately, I played Kenny Banya. So no, soup's not a meal. You're supposed to take me out to a nice restaurant. There you go. That's the answer from Kenny and from Steve.
Perfection. Hey, nice talking to you, Steve. We'll have to check out the podcast That's Gold with Steve Heitner.
That's Gold with Steve Heitner. And can I just say, love chatting with you, and even more so love chatting sports and feeling like I'm holding my own with the great Sarah Spain.
You are. And unfortunately for New York right now, that's mostly just commiserating, but it still counts.
Yeah, that's where we are.
That's Gold, Jerry. Gold!
You can't blame New York sports fans, Knicks fans especially, for having a very lengthy list of grievances this year. And speaking of grievances, let's get to it. The annual airing of grievances featuring some of my ESPN colleagues.
You gather your family around and tell them all the ways they have disappointed you over the past year.
Let's start with host of Around the Horn and New Yorker himself, Tony Reale.
My grievance, Red Zone. I'm a Scott Hansen guy. People don't like when he tries to call out which game to go to. I don't mind that. I actually like that. I like hosts should be directors. That's what my company line is. So that's fine by me. My grievance is when he cuts to a game and just by the way he sets it up, I can tell he knows what's going to happen because it's not live. So he knows, but we don't know. And he's setting it up. You know what I'm talking about? Just the way he leads up to it like, and now we go to Cleveland. And it's just like, he knows something's up. And we know that he knows, but now I'm guessing at what's gonna happen and I lose the element of surprise. And it's toothpaste out of the tube situation, which is like something I don't like. So I'm pretty sure on that Dolphins lateral play, Scott Hansen knew what was gonna happen. And the way he set it up, I knew that he knew. And it didn't ruin the play for me. It was still the greatest play of the season, but the play didn't hit me across the face like I wanted it to. You know, it stopped short. As Jerry Stiller would say, I don't do a Jerry Stiller impersonation. I can't do the airing of grievances. I can do a Seinfeld. No pick! No pick! My grievance is Red Zone omniscience. Reale out.
Festivus is your heritage. It's part of who you are.
Hello, I'm Dan Le Batard, and highest on my list of holiday sports grievances is sports radio shows around the holidays who take famous random voices and ask them about their holiday grievances.
Hey, I resemble that remark.
That's crap, Dan. My grievance is guys who rail against radio hosts who do grievances around the holidays at the end of the year. I mean, that's what you're supposed to do. It's sports radio, for crying out loud. So that's my grievance, Dan. Also, the college football playoff is all out of whack, and Kevin Durant. No rings in my personal record book. Also, Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, get the hell out of my life. Jim Harbaugh, enough already. We know you're going to Cleveland. Okay, I'm good. I'm done. I mean, Saban, seriously, enough with this guy. I mean, every time a coach in any sport gets a raise, he gets a raise. I'm done with him. And Joe Maddon, how about you take off the damn glasses? I mean, I'm serious already. We know you have 20/20 vision. Take off the glasses. That is it. I am finally done. Done. Jim Boylan, are you kidding me? All of a sudden you want the Bulls to work harder? They stink. That's it. I'm done. And soccer is dead in the United States. Period. End of discussion. Except on the women's side, they're very good.
I find your belief system fascinating.
Hey, Sarah. This is Mina Kimes. So my grievance this year is with something people do on the internet. Shocking. I know. During games. And it's this. We'll be watching a game and I will tweet something like, wow, great throw from Matt Ryan or nice play. And then an hour later, maybe he'll throw an interception or something and somebody, a bunch of people will inevitably write, well, that aged poorly. Well, no, it was an observation of something that happened and then time passed. And that's the way time works. Not everything is a take. Some things are just observations of facts. Anyways, that's my biggest complaint this year in sports.
As I rained blows upon him, I realized there had to be another way.
Hey, it's Chris Connolly from ESPN, and you bet I have a sports grievance. It's coaches in high school and college who call timeouts to try to freeze field goal kickers and guys taking foul shots at the end of the game. I hate that. I hate it when well-paid adults are rooting for young student athletes to fail. Just rooting for them to fail. Not hoping that their team does better, but just rooting that student athletes fail. I hate that. It has to stop.
You don't need glasses. You're just weak. You're weak.
Hey, it's Arash Markazi here, and my biggest grievance is with regular season conference championship banners. What's up with that? There is really only one conference champion, and that's the team that goes through the postseason and wins that conference. So to the Nashville Predators and all the teams out there, really, that have regular season conference championship banners, take them down. When you win the conference, when you win the Stanley Cup, then you could put up something, but not for the regular season. Please, enough of that.
Requires no decoration. I find tinsel distracting.
Ben Lyons here, and I promise you that I'm not going to go off on a rant about how Carmelo Anthony has been disrespected, how my sports grievance for 2018 is that people don't understand true greatness when they see it and they don't appreciate it while it's here, and I'm not gonna go into a whole Melo rant, I promise you that. What I am upset about is this new thing in the NBA where fans aren't allowed to heckle the players. Not heckle, maybe that's too strong a word, but I think part of the experience as a fan of going to a game is to be able to engage with the guys in a way that is family friendly. You're not cursing, you're not, you know, being offensive, but to cheer for or against the guys you're paying top dollar to go see, if you got great seats and the guys can hear you and you can make them laugh, and I think that should be celebrated. I don't know. To see Patrick Beverley throwing a ball at the fans and to hear KD, you know, now he's kind of changed his tone a little bit and he's having fun with it. Saw down in Atlanta the other night when he told the fan to shut up and watch the game and then laughed. That's what we live for as fans, those moments. You know, I've been at the Garden and the Knicks are down 25 and they're trying to give out free t-shirts and I'm saying, you know what? Screw that. I'm going to heckle, you know, Zaza Pachulia. And sure enough, he dribbles it off his foot and he looks over and he points at me and laughs and everybody in the section has a good time. I think that should be encouraged. I like the back and forth with players, but it's got to be, you know, family friendly, of course. So that's my sports grievance. I hope these NBA guys appreciate the fans who are able to kind of, you know, make them crack or make them laugh, because that's why we love going to the games. Happy Festivus to the rest of us. Happy holidays. Appreciate you having me on the show, and good luck to your Chicago Bulls, maybe the one team worse than the New York Knicks in the Eastern Conference.
This new holiday of yours is scratching me right where I itch.
This is Bill Plaschke of the LA Times and Around the Horn, and my biggest sports grievance of 2018 is right in Sarah Spain's wheelhouse. Yes, I'm going there. I can't stand fans who throw home run balls back onto the field. This is a tradition that started in Sarah's beloved Wrigley Field, where the friendly confines aren't so friendly. If you catch a home run ball from an opposing player, suddenly everybody's around you chanting, throw it back, throw it back, throw it back. Yeah, why throw it back? It's a precious piece of memorabilia. It's hard to get. It's something you can keep forever. It's a tremendous souvenir. But no, throw it back, throw it back. No, keep the ball. Take it home. Put it on a shelf. Put it in a glass case. Have it engraved. Give it to a child. It's too precious of a memorabilia to just throw back onto the field to give in to peer pressure. It's the biggest submission of peer pressure in sports, is when fans, everybody around them, a fan has to cave in and throw the ball back onto the field. Keep the ball. That's the only sensible thing to do. It's the only smart thing to do, no matter what those fans in Wrigley Field are saying, no matter what Sarah Spain is saying. Sorry, Sarah. Keep the ball. That's the truth.
Oh, please, somebody stop this.
Adam Amin here. You know how much I love college football. It's a blast every week to get a chance to go to all these campuses around the country and see these coaches and players and tell their stories and see them compete on the field. But four teams isn't enough. People telling me that it's going to devalue the regular season if we go to an 8-team playoff, I just don't see it. It might devalue some impact of some games, but the rest of the college football season is going to be great. Everybody's going to be more invested in more teams. What's wrong with that? This is not an argument that is overly original, but it's a good excuse to say you're the best, you're awesome, keep killing it on this podcast and everything else you do, buddy.
Hey, happy Festivus, everyone!
A big thanks to all my friends who recorded some grievances for the podcast. And while you're feeling in the holiday spirit, be sure to keep an eye out in the next couple days for my annual 'Twas the Night Before Christmas sports poem. Takes me forever to write it, so please do me a favor and give it a click and give it a read. It should be up on ESPNW before Christmas, and I'll post a whole bunch of links on my social feeds as well.
Until you pin me, George, Festivus is not over.
You may recall that I finished out last year's Festivus podcast with a poem from Jake Tapper. Yes, the news anchor. He wrote a poem and posted it to Twitter explaining why Die Hard is a Christmas movie. I will not do that again in its entirety. You can find it yourself online. I will just read a quick portion of you as a little teaser to send you over to look it up because it's worth your time. Here's how it starts. 'Twas the night before Christmas at Nakatomi Tower when our story of homecoming begins with brute power. At Los Angeles Airport, meet our savior McClane. With toys for his kids, he disembarks from his plane. To not see that this tale's about Christmas is folly. Did I mention that Mrs. McClane's name is Holly? And so it goes with all of the Christmas references made in Die Hard. And I will tell you that I was a Die Hard is not a Christmas movie person until I read this piece by Jake Tapper. So go and read it if you still need convincing. But I have another That's What She Read, and it's not Christmas related or holiday related, but I think it's worth your time for sure. It's a piece in the Players Tribune by Ada Hegerberg, the soccer player who won the first ever women's Ballon d'Or. And her story went viral because during the presentation of her award, the gentleman interviewing her asked her if she could twerk. She handled it very gracefully, but everybody else saw the clip and reacted to the absurdity of her being asked that at this pinnacle moment of her career. If you haven't yet, check out the YouTube video by hashtag CoverTheAthlete. You can find it by typing in male athletes, female questions, and they superimposed actual questions asked to female athletes over clips of male athletes in locker rooms and at press conferences. And you really are struck with the absurdity of these questions when you see them posed to men, but they feel normal to so many people when asked of female athletes after a match or a game. And as Ada was being asked this, I think we all were taken out of the moment and of the honor she was receiving, and instead forced to think about the respect that far too often female athletes are not given. In her story for the Players Tribune called Not Here to Dance, she talks about how the moment wasn't ruined for her. She still had the most amazing night of her life and writes about it very eloquently. But in it, she does discuss the things that girls need to do and have to fight through just this kind of BS. And here's a little bit of what she wrote. The one thing I would say to any girl who is reading this right now is you can't lose your fire. You can't let anybody take your fire away from you. If you have big dreams, the fire is the only thing that will get you there. Talent alone will not do it. Patience will not do it. You're going to be tested and pushed to the limits of what you can take. You're going to have to work just as hard as the men to get to the top of your sport, but for a lot less money. You're going to cry. You're going to throw up. You're going to ache. I remember when I finally had the chance to play abroad in Eastern Germany with Turbine Potsdam. I was so naive. I was 17 and still trying to finish my high school work on the side. We would train 3 times per day. We would train in the freezing rain, in the snow. It didn't matter. It was absolutely brutal. They would push us to the breaking point. But every single player showed up on time and gave 100% every single day. No excuses, no complaints. No one could afford to complain. I would come home at night and I was so sore and exhausted that I would pass out on my bed at 7 o'clock with my homework scattered everywhere. These are the moments that nobody sees, but you can't lose the fire. I could speak for hours about equality and what needs to change in football and in society as a whole, but in the end, everything comes back to respect. Ain't that the truth? Thanks as always for lasting about an hour with me.
That's what she said.